Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. I'm Jason Mackey, here with you for about another 30 minutes before the PM team takes over. Enjoyed our draft of sports movies. Austin Bechtold and I went 7 rounds. Put it out on Twitter. Vote on who you think won. Have a quick call from Tom in North Huntington. Wants to talk about Tin Cup and the greatest game ever played. I'm willing to bet that Tom has some issues with our draft, but Tom, you're on the fan. What's going on?
Hey, I got no issue with your draft. I'm just saying that two great golf movies didn't get mentioned, and they at least deserve an honorable mention. Tin Cup, watched that multiple times, enjoy it every time, and The Greatest Game Ever Played, about Francis Ouimet winning the 1913 U.S. Open against some of the greatest golfers in the world. Just think they at least deserve an honorable mention.
All right. We didn't have an honorable mention category, though, Tom.
Well, I think you did. I think you need to develop one.
You're probably right. But we could go honorable mention on and on. There are all kinds of...
I know, but...
That's the great part of it.
You know, they deserve an honorable mention because they didn't get mentioned, but I think they should be part of the original seven.
Okay. All right. What's my team is... Major League, Necessary Roughness, Bull Durham, Miracle, Varsity Blues, Moneyball, and Remember the Titans. Which one of those would you take off to put on Tin Cup?
Moneyball, Remember the Titans.
Why those two?
Because I think the two golf movies have a greater stance than those two baseball movies.
Moneyball was about an entire trend that affected
football.
Yeah, and... Remember the Titans was about racial segregation and a whole...
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying selections should be considered.
I bet. No, I know. I know. I hear you. And that's the great thing about these. People are always going to disagree. And especially with sports movies. They're such a fantastic thing. And thank you for the call, Tom. I appreciate it. It is a shame that sports movies aren't made with more regularity. I guess they don't move the needle. I don't know. But I love them. I wish they were out. All the time. We had so many omissions. You know, Invincible was one I'd throw in there. I actually need to text Drew Maggi. You guys remember Drew Maggi? Pirates infielder, has a great story, 13 seasons in minor league baseball. I was talking to Drew a couple years ago in Altoona, and he said the people who did Remember the Titans and Miracle had actually been in touch with him about his story. I don't think anything ever came of it, but they wanted to learn more, and I ended up writing about it at the time, and I'm sure I would have heard more, but wanted to check in with Drew. I saw a video of him on Twitter, his first major league hit, and just such a cool moment, something that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but pretty easy to think back about Drew Maggi and get a little nostalgic. We have Jeff?
We got him.
All right. I see a Jeff on the screen. I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right thing. So Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn joins us on the Fan Hotline. Jeff, how are you, man?
I'm good, Jason. I apologize for being late. They are did a little extra practice today.
You were not late. I was told Jeff Hathorn at 1:35, and it is exactly 1:35. You could not be more on time if you tried.
Creative timing.
Yes.
Creative timing.
Best sports movie of all time, Jeff. What is it?
Ooh.
I know. That's impossible to answer off the cuff
Hoosiers.
Like that. Hoosiers. Proud member of the Austin Bechtold All Sports Movie Team.
Yeah, I mean, Hoosiers is just, here's the thing about Hoosiers. Like, when I was we did some of those drills. Like, they're actual drills.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman seemed like an actual coach. And they, you know, they played in these tiny little gyms that when you grew up in Mercer County, played in some of the same type of gyms. So, I mean, listen, there are a lot of great sports movies. You can go from, you know, if you want to go to comedy, you know, Caddyshack is awesome. And there's obviously a lot of great baseball movies. Remember the Titans is a great movie. And there's just, there's a ton of them.
I always have a soft spot in my heart for them. I could talk about them endlessly. And I could keep you here for our entire segment talking sports movies, but I won't do that. Let's talk about the Bengals on Saturday night and what you see is important. I know a lot of talk from the facility past couple days about the communication breakdowns. Do you have any faith that this is going to stop, Jeff? What do you see the defense? Are they going to be able to come out and stop Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Burrow? I mean, it's a tall task. Do you think they're up to it?
You know, I think they've done what they've wanted to do this week. I mean, like I mentioned, they were a little later today. They had some extra practice. They had some extra time on the field together, called for by the players. They kind of aired out the grievances. It seemed like there was more communication in practice or louder communication in practice, all those things you want to hear. To me, the test is this. At some point, Burrow is going to beat him for something because you're not going to keep him from out, you know, without making big plays. So how do they respond after that happens? So whether it's a touchdown or a chunk play, like, do they all of a sudden think, all right, I'm going to go try to make a play and start that whole cycle of errors that has happened here over the last couple of weeks? Or do they stay with what they're saying, be where they're supposed to be, trust the guy next to them? That, to me, is the big key. I mean, all this stuff is great, but when they get on the field and they face a little adversity, do they revert what they've done the last couple of weeks and guys trying to be individuals, or do they trust each other as a team?
Interesting. Jeff, to change on the – I want to get to this before we run out of time, but on the other side of the ball, I'm curious how much Justin Fields plays on Saturday, if at all. Being at practice, have you seen an uptick in his participation? I know he was battling an injury. You know, has it been enough that you're also curious about the level that he could play against the Bengals?
Well, he's healthy. I mean, he's going through full practices. I would look at it this way. What happens the first time they get in the red zone? Is there success? Does it seem like this offense is just rolling with Russ like they were the last time they played the Bengals? And I don't see, think you'll see a lot of Justin. If we're seeing the struggles continue and they need some third down conversions or maybe run a little play in the red zone, I think absolutely Justin could play a part of that. And, you know, like the last couple of weeks, you know, he's either been out or been dealing with an injury. I think this is the first time he's been healthy in about a month. And also prior to that, they haven't really needed him because of the success they've had. They need him now.
Yeah.
We'll see what kind of what they're able to do early. And if they struggle early, yes, you will see some Justin Fields.
Jeff, my read on the quarterback situation, I was talking about this earlier in the show. I mean, they brought in Russ for a reason. I think Russ, by and large, has had a pretty good year. I think it's kind of clouded by the past four games. They've played some tough opponents, haven't played their best football. I'm not sure if everything affecting Russ has been his fault. Is that a train?
Yeah, I'm just going to try to jump on a moving train.
Good, good. I love it. I've been on your end of that quite a few times, and now I'm on the in-studio end of it. But what do you think Russell Wilson's future is with the Steelers? Do you think if he plays well over the final two games that he's definitely back? If he plays poorly, do you think he's definitely gone? How do you sort of balance that?
I think the desire is to have him for a couple more years, but I don't think that's been set in stone. I truly believe with this decision, maybe with others it's different, but with this decision, they're going to sit at a table and map this out on the entirety of the season, what he brought, if this is the style they want to play, you know, what can they do in the immediate future, and is he the guy to help mentor a young guy, which I think he is, and I think that becomes a factor in this. So if he's great over the next couple of games, obviously that boosts his stock. If he's bad, you know, maybe they do take a second look at it, but I think Russ is the guy they want for now, especially when you look at the draft in this quarterback class. I don't see anybody, at least that's immediate help. but maybe you take a flyer on a Dylan Gabriel or somebody later in the draft, and you put them, you know, under Russ's tutelage, and you give them a couple of years. Meanwhile, you're still playing to win now with Russell Wilson. I think there's been enough that they're intrigued by him. And the wild card also is we don't know what Russ wants. If he wants $40 million, I don't know that the Steelers would be willing to pay at that type of level.
Yeah, that's kind of quite literally the million-dollar question. What can you get him for? I mean, $20 million, I would be interested. I'd probably sign that deal right now. $30 million, I don't know. I think I'd want some context. 40, yeah. I'm out.
Yeah, 30, I'd think about. 35 would really be at my edge. I mean, listen, this team's going to have salary cap room, but they obviously need to purchase some receivers.
Yes.
That needs to improve right away, and there's going to be other areas where their guys' contracts are going to elevate or they're going to look to shore up as well. So they've got it. They've got money for a quarterback, but if they're going to spend crazy money – but I don't think that, like, Sam Darnold is the guy I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to get somebody like that. So I don't know if there's a free agent out there that would really wow them where they would pay a ton of money for. And, you know, the Justin situation is interesting. You assume he's probably going to try to find somewhere where he could start. But could they sell him on, hey, spend another year under Russ and then maybe you got it? I don't know. How it all washes out will be intriguing because the entire room's up for free agency.
Yeah, it really is. There's going to be some movement one way or another. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them today at southhillskia.net. One more question with Jeff Hathorn, Odyssey Sports Director. Jeff, the Steelers voted TJ Watt as their team MVP. Do you agree with that? Could you make a counter argument for anybody else, specifically maybe Chris Boswell? I'm trying to think who else would fall into that discussion. Maybe Cam Hayward. I have a tough time arguing with TJ Watt, but you know, Boz has had a pretty good year too.
Yeah, listen, TJ's been spotty. Boswell has had a great year. Only one other time have they had a kicker, and that was Gary Anderson a couple of decades ago. I don't know if I would have gone kicker. I mean, I appreciate what Boswell has done. Cam Hayward actually was, if we had a vote and we don't, this is by players. Cam would have gotten my vote because I think consistently what he has done for this entire year, how he leads the team, and obviously TJ's a captain as well, but to get 70 tackles on the inside, 8 sacks on the inside, has been remarkable for a guy that's 35. And the way he leads this team by the example he sets, you can't go wrong with TJ. 11.5 sacks, 6 forced fumbles is the big stat to me.
Yep.
But if I were going to make a case for anyone, it would be Hayward. But I don't have a problem with TJ Watt. Here, the crazy thing is, you think of all the great players, no one's been named team MVP more than him.
Yeah. Now it's time to win in the playoffs. Now it's time to make a run. Now it's time to do the stuff that really matters. I mean, nobody needs convinced of TJ Watt being a great, great generational player. Hope he wins the Defensive Player of the Year award this year. Should have won it last year. But yeah, playoff wins, man. Playoff wins. Jeff, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, Jeff Hathorn, Odyssey Sports Director. Appreciate him as always. Jeff does a fantastic job. You can check him out on Twitter at Jeff Hathorn, on the 93.7 The Fan website, where Jeff writes. Well, Jeff has more bylines than me. I know that much, and that's a pretty notable thing. So.